Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cold Omaha's Video Game Podcast. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton and Tom Schreier. In case you guys haven't noticed, the news has continued to crawl over the last week with a few minor releases. We'll be discussing what we played this week as we wait for things to kick off next week with the release of Metal Gear Solid 5 and Mad Max. I think we should get things started today by checking in with Max to see how he's enjoying the new expansion for Hearthstone, the Grand Tournament. Max, how was opening your 50 packs?
Oh boy, it was exciting after I waited an entire month to get to open them. So it officially kicked off on August 24th. Now, if you're like me and a big fan, you were hoping that maybe it would launch at midnight. We know they update at noon, but people still held out and maybe sure. At a reasonable time in the morning. But nope, they made us wait till noon on the 24th. So immediately, it actually worked out quite well. I have jury duty this week. So whereas usually I would be at work at my desk, unable to get a decent signal or anything, I was able to sit in the waiting room connected to pretty fast Wi-Fi and open them all at once and
nice.
Take my time building some decks and tinkering around. I got a, and I know this will make you happy, a whopping 2 legendaries from my 50 decks.
Didn't you tell us last week that you got, or just a few weeks ago, you got 2 legendaries in a week?
I did, back to back, right from the normal packs from just doing the daily challenges.
Oh, dear.
So that's a good investment, right?
Yeah, totally.
Got the exclusive card back, so ha ha.
Everyone can see your cake yes. icing card back.
Exactly. So, anyways, the 2 legendaries I got, one, I don't even remember the names. They're not in my deck because I didn't like them. So I got exactly 1,600 dust from getting rid of the cards, doubles and all that.
Sure.
And I used that because I like my priestess deck a lot, and got the Confessor Paltris card, which allows you every time you inspire, which is to use your hero power, you summon a random legendary minion. And so far in using that, I'm not summoning, like, the joke legendary minions. I'm getting, or epics, or I'm sorry, whatever they're called.
Oh, are they?
What's the top tier?
Is legendary.
It, or, sorry, yeah, legendary, that's correct.
So she's a legendary and she
summons legendaries.
Legendary.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Just want to make sure I was on the right track there. But, yeah, so basically every time I use my hero power, I get a random legendary, and it's a game ender because I'm getting things like King Crush, and, like, it's good cards you can immediately use. It's not like the 1/1s and stuff. But anyways, there's another card I threw in there that allows me to use my hero power multiple times in a turn. So then you get 3 legendaries right off the bat on your playing field. And
they really need to just like take that card out of the game.
Maybe, but I hope they don't. Because oh god, I love
imagine
it.
How that could be balanced.
It's happened a couple times, but not often at all.
What's
it's,
her power and health?
It is 5 and 4. Respectively.
And how much is she?
7.
Okay.
So I usually wait till I have 9 gems or whatever, and then
mana crystals. Mana,
yeah, and then I'll do it so I at least get 1 inspire out of her.
Sure.
Couple other highlights that I got. I believe it was for the shaman, but it's a card. So once you hit 4 mana crystals, you can use it, and it automatically gives you 10 mana crystals for the rest of the game. So it's a quick boost right up to the end.
Wow.
Right. So it's not a character I use much, but I'm going to have to tinker with that card.
Sure.
And then there's some other good ones, like the one that before when we were off the air, we were talking about one that lets you use your hero power an infinite number of times,
Yeah.
It's a dragon, I can't remember what class it belongs to, but basically all these...
Mage.
Yep, you're probably right. But basically, all the classes that have some ridiculously overpowered cards, that's how they balanced it out. Overall, was the $50 worth it? Unfortunately, no. I did like getting to open all the packs. That's
sure.
the fun part.
Sure.
They did throw the 10 extra ones in. You know, I don't regret it. Was it worth it? Would I do it again going into it? Probably because I don't learn from my mistakes. But if I did, I probably would not.
Next time, I'm just going to take your phone away for the week leading up to the release.
That would be good. I'm sure there's going to be something else right around the corner.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I spent actually quite a bit of time playing Hearthstone as well this week because I've been getting some family and friends into it. I've got like 3 or 4 new friends playing. And man, I just love the accessibility of the game. It's just really great. Like I've got people now from like ages 13 to 40 playing the game. Like it's so... It's great for people who've never played a card game before. I've had a lot of friends who really liked watching Magic, but always thought it was too complicated, and I just give them the tutorial and they can just figure it out.
Sure.
It's so, so nice. Yeah, so I played quite a bit. I have yet to get a single Grand Tournament pack because I don't care. And also, I mean, on that note, I think I've only opened one or two Goblins versus Gnomes packs. I'm still trying to flesh it. I still maintain that some of the best combos come from the original sets.
And absolutely.
You maybe throw in one or two cards from the new sets. Argent Tournament might be a little different, but I'm sorry, Grand Tournament. Does anybody know, actually? I'm really curious about this. Does anyone know why it's not the Argent Tournament?
Like, I've not seen anything. I've certainly seen plenty of forums asking why it is not.
Because, but... I mean, the heroes, like Anuba Rock is one of the legendaries. He's the leader of the Crypt Lords, Crypt Fiends. And he's a boss from the Argent Tournament. I mean, there are characters that are literally from the Argent Tournament that are legendaries in this. So it doesn't make any sense to me that it's not the Argent Tournament. I thought maybe it was at a different point in time.
And I think we briefly mentioned this before, but the only thing I ever saw, and this was when it was first announced, was an article saying, why would they base an expansion off of a poorly received...
That's the thing. At all.
You countered it with that. But that's all I ever saw is, like, they changed the name just to kind of get away from whatever this non-existent stigma was.
That does not make sense to me, especially because there are Argent cards in the game anyways.
Right, right.
Like the Argent Crusader.
But maybe also appealing to a more broad, casual audience, they figured they'd go with Grand Tournament instead of, you know, Argent, which you may not, you know, people on.
Yeah, because Argent is totally off-putting.
It is.
It is. That's why I haven't played.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom beat me to it.
I should probably start. You talk about the accessibility.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you can play it on your pads or your phone.
You can play
or
it with
whatever,
Trevor.
And, yeah.
I should. That's the big connection. He does play it all the time.
I love it.
I will say that a lot of people were worried it was going to be game breaking and just people with the original cards wouldn't be able to compete, and it's not at all. And the one thing I was kind of annoyed with, I don't like the Joust cards, and I have seen very, very little of it.
I know, like, nobody's using them. I hate them. I mean, I called this like 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, and like, I hated Clash in Magic and I hate Joust in this, especially because Joust isn't worth it. Like, the bonuses you get, even if you win, generally are not very good. I mean, it's like, oh, this guy is basically, you're saving half a mana if you win this clash because it's like a 3/3 charge for 4 mana or
right.
something. It's just like,
but some of them, and granted, they're not. I do like the Inspire mechanic. I think
Inspire is fantastic.
It is. And just for whatever reason,
it's a bit overpowered.
I don't remember a lot of the Goblins and Gnomes cards. They just didn't stand out to me, but I'm definitely remembering some of the clever effects from this recent release, because like one of them was draw your next card, whatever the cost is, do that much damage to a select minion, and I just happened to draw the Clockwork Giant, which goes for 12.
Yeah,
and just it's
that's cool.
That's just funny.
It'd be more impressive to me if that wasn't literally a Magic card, but it just doesn't feel it feels like a really tired idea that they just pulled because they couldn't think of anything else, to me, and that's just a little disappointing to me, I guess.
But for someone who never played Magic, as I'm pointing out,
sure,
I like it. I dig it.
Well, you were just saying you don't, but sure.
Oh, no, that card I did. I'm just saying,
yeah,
from the Goblins
card,
and Gnomes.
Sure, but the Joust mechanic in general.
Oh, Joust, absolutely not impressed with.
All right, that's enough excluding Tom. Tom, what have you been playing this week?
I beat Diablo 3, and I thought it was a pretty satisfying experience.
Hey, original or DLC?
My guess is I got the Reaper of Souls edition.
Yeah,
so
you did all 5 acts.
Yeah, all 5 acts, and I think I was surprised. The only surprise, I guess, was that the last boss wasn't that hard, at least compared to some of the other ones you would get at the end of Act 3, I remember, was pretty tough. And I feel like 4 actually had one that was... I mean, it was fine.
What difficulty are you playing on?
I think it's not... It's like one below Torment. I might be Torment.
If this is your first playthrough, I'm pretty sure you can't be on one below Torment, but I could be mistaken. I'm pretty sure you unlock the harder difficulty after your first character.
Yeah, you could be right. I'm trying to think. Maybe I
think you're probably on normal. But... That said, it's you might be on hard. I won't say for sure. But
yeah.
It's interesting you'd say that, just because I definitely felt like Diablo 3 had a lot of strong points, but I never felt like its boss fights were particularly challenging.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. I actually like what I like about it is I probably return to it even though I beat the game, because any part of that, you know, all the maps were unique. I felt like the enemies were kind of almost comical in some ways, like the thought, you know, like, how they decided to name them or whatever.
Treasure Goblins.
Yeah, and it's a better game with... I love the Treasure Goblin. Maybe one of my favorite parts. The other part, it's kind of funny, but do you remember going to the area with, like, the rainbows and stuff like that?
Oh,
and you're,
yeah,
like, shooting through bears?
Yeah. That's the cow level equivalent.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, I like the little details that they got right in that game. And in general, like, the maps were worth exploring entirely, even if you could cut through and get to the main point that
sure.
you're trying to get to.
Remind us again what class you played.
I played as a wizard, gotcha. which I played as, what was the new one for the Reaper of
Crusader.
Souls? I didn't think that was that exciting. I maybe got to, like, level 15 or something.
Crusader has never really been that exciting. I think it was the Templar in 2, I think it was the Crusader, but it's more of a group buffing type class,
yeah.
And also, like, it's a lot of passive stuff. Like, I remember I made a hammer din in Diablo 2, and I basically recreated that in 3, where you have a special move where you, when you, like, use the attack, and a ghostly hammer comes out of your body and
That's
starts
cool.
orbiting you in a bigger and bigger circles and does damage to everything it touches. My final build with, like, my level 70 Crusader or whatever is just spam that and walk around, and, like, I have, like, an orb of hammers all around me. So,
one
like, it isn't
it.
Super fun, necessarily, but it's kind of, you feel
See,
like a, you know, bad, you know, badass, kind of.
The only other one I might have tried is Wags, who you've played with, plays as, like, the witch doctor or whatever, and he's got a little
dog.
Oh, no,
I hate the witch
See, I think
doctor.
It looks
that's
cool.
The only, that's the, he doesn't, I don't think he plays very fun. I'm not a fan of the
And
way
I couldn't
play.
Tell you that, but.
That's like, the pretty much accepted take on the witch doctor,
I hate all the channeled
too.
Crap. Like, the channeling is what, it really doesn't feel very, like, when you play the warrior or the wizard, stuff explodes. Like, you feel powerful. As the warrior, when you use, like, leap and, like, slam, or the barbarian and slam into the ground, or if you're playing as the wizard and you use, like, arcane orb and you throw, like, a small galaxy
That's sweet.
At someone
That's
and
awesome.
It explodes on impact.
Yep.
And then you play as the witch doctor and it's like you shoot a cloud of bats at people that does, like, 5 damage per second. It's just like, I feel kind of weak. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
the summons are, it's just too much of a delay in between when I attack and, like, the result, I feel like.
Yeah, the wizard, I definitely recommended him, and I haven't tried any other class other than Crusader, but it's fun. The different moves you can make do feel unique. You do feel powerful, as you said. I don't know. Honestly, that was one of my favorite games I played. I think I picked it up for $35 on some sale and was like, you know, Diablo obviously is a big franchise. They probably will do it right. Blizzard always seems to put out good games. So I was satisfied with that. Fallout New Vegas is probably the big one I'm playing right now. It's on my 360 that's dying as I play it. But I think that game's fun. And you just feel like you took a step back because it is a little bit older and it does play a little bit older. At the same time, you were talking about the DLC is really good. I'll have to check that out. I do like the faction system 10 times better than just the linear storyline that wasn't
very
good. Outside of that, though, I think that Boston is going to be more exciting. I think Washington was more exciting in the 3 and 4. And I think, you know, I don't know. I felt like the characters are interesting, but I felt you met kind of very interesting, intriguing people in 3, and I guess it didn't.
Do you actually feel that way? Like, name someone you remember from 3 who was
I mean,
really
that's a good point, but like...
Your father.
What's his name? Don't say Liam Neeson.
I mean, the ghoul underground, I think, was kind of interesting, and I like that you could have, like, one of those big, what are the big guys with the big machine guns? You could have one of those guys as your allies. The mutants.
Super mutants?
Yeah, super mutant, and I don't know.
You had a super mutant ally in
yeah.
You have a Nightkin ally in New Vegas. The blue super mutants. She's
that's
got the
right.
giant
who's
sword,
on the...
and she's hilarious. It's the, like, guy, it's like the super, it's the... What is she? She's a Nightkin who's, like, completely insane and thinks she's, like, somebody's mother, and she's wearing,
a crazy hat
and stuff.
I'll have to get to that. I got to the Black Mountain where you have Neil, and that's kind of similar.
There's a lot of stuff in New Vegas that you really have to go out to find it all. Like, not all of it is required strictly.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. Like, I'm about 35 hours in. I've gotten – I think you choose between House, the NCR, and Caesar's Legion. I've already pissed off the Caesar's Legion, so that's – you know, dead and gone. But, I'm at a point where I have to choose between the NCR and the House, and I'm pretty far along with House where the NCR is getting pissed off. But I think it's unique how the game changes and that you can't be 100% because there's certain missions you can't do if you choose not to, you know, follow one path or the other.
Yeah, that's branching story is like probably what I thought set it above and beyond 3 by a long shot. Because
yeah.
3 was more like black and white choices where it's like, do you destroy Megaton or do you save
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Whereas in this, it's like, you know, Well, I don't want to give away any of the choices because you haven't finished it. But it's, do you want to do A, B, C, or D, and each has a different effect?
Yeah, no, and I, you know, I guess you're right. There probably are more intriguing characters. At least the, what I'll say is that although I don't like the Mojave Desert as much, Freeside feels a lot different than, let's say, whatever the southeast part of the map looks like, or the Red Rocks, or, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, each area feels very unique.
Well, and seriously, and I'm sure that Max will back me up on this, you have to play the DLC. The DLC is the best. It's by far the best part of the game. I mean, the vanilla New Vegas pales in comparison to something like Old World Blues, which is so good and so funny. I mean, it's great.
And you say it's worth, I'm probably level 22 going back and doing the one for level 15, right?
Or whatever. Just because, like, first of all, there's some unique items that you get from Old World Blues you can't get anywhere else. And also because, like, I'm pretty sure that New Vegas uses the same leveled system as, like, the as Fallout 3, where, like, enemies are leveled to your current level. Yeah. Not, like, it's not like you can't go to this zone until X level.
Yeah, although there are certain parts that are harder.
Well, there's death claws, which, like, you have to basically hit like level 10 or so before you can take them down. But that's more of an issue of your weapons are garbage and you can't shoot anything straight.
The one level up thing I find interesting is that you only get a perk every other one, right? If I remember right. And so, like,
I believe, in the odd
levels, you don't get a perk. I wish it would be more frequently just because they're kind of fun to have, I guess.
You do know with the DLC you can go up to level 50.
Yeah, and right? Maybe that's why it is. But no, I'll probably play through the DLC. I think by November, you know, I'll be far enough along, I'll feel justified in playing Fallout 4 or whatever.
Sure.
But
I'll be very surprised if you're still playing New Vegas once the glut of holiday games starts at the end of the month.
That's the thing. That's why I've been hitting it hard, as much as it's weird to play a 360 game. And then the other thing, John, when he was on here, talked about this, the Rare Replay is really good. I played Banjo-Kazooie, which is still fun. I really like the Perfect Dark games. They still kind of hold up. And I'll play Jet Force Gemini and the Conker's Bad Fur Day and stuff like that. So for $30, I felt like you got a good value there.
Yeah, I really wish that something like Rare Replay would come to PC. I feel like as cool as it is that they're re-releasing these games and kind of bringing them out of retirement and stuff for the consoles, it would be really cool if they really wanted them to be remembered and last a long time. They should port them to PC. It'd be so good.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Even if you had to have a controller, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, like Perfect Dark plays well with a controller. It's just easy to kind of manipulate which weapon you're using and, you know, I don't know, get around the map.
Trust me, I know. I played Perfect Dark Zero or whatever it was on the on the 3DS. Yeah. And or maybe that might have been the original DS. I don't remember.
Zero is like the 360 game.
Oh, okay. There was a Perfect Dark that was released for DS, and it was, like, awful. I hated it. It was almost impossible to control and all that stuff. But I'm sure that even there, you at least can, you know, it's still playable.
The control thing, so for Perfect Dark, they got it down. Like, it feels like a, you know, at least good enough to get through it. With Banjo-Kazooie, there are some frustrating things where, like, I don't know how much you guys remember the game, but there's that.
I remember it very intimately.
So, like, Clunker, you remember the shark thing?
Yep.
That, yeah.
Clanker, actually.
Clanker, that's right. So, you remember it better than me, and I played it yesterday. The controls getting around suck because you try to get to the bottom where you try to unlock them or whatever, and you have to get the bubbles to get back up.
Yeah, I remember having trouble with that when I was 7.
It doesn't control accurately. I can't, like,
that's
I try.
That's how it's always been.
That's what I mean, though. You could.
No. There's a big difference between making it so that the controls transfer well to a different type of controller and making the game easier.
That's what I want. I want to be able to get my bubbles. Damn it!
You just need to be better. Just got to get better.
That, I guess that was my only complaint, and I think I'm sure other people.
I mean, I bet you hated all the water zones in Sonic, too.
Yeah, those were rough. So I don't know. I think that
life has just been rough for Tom.
It's been a tough go, especially when you're underwater and need bubbles. But
sure. All right, let's give somebody else a chance to talk for a little bit here. Jeez. All right, Max, what else have you been playing this week?
Well, I, as always, dove into Rocket League. They just came out with their first DLC. So they have said from the start that they're always going to have free maps. You'll never pay for that. So
which is wonderful in a trend I hope catches on in shooters.
Absolutely. And it includes two cars, some decals, and hats, which is the popular thing for the cars. I do like the cars. There's never – obviously, every car handles the exact same. You don't have to tweak anything. Everyone has to be on the same playing level. They have talked about maybe having some sort of power-ups and things like that for the unranked play, just to kind of like goof around
kinda
and take
like
her.
Sort of like a Mario Kart-ish kind of thing?
Yep, exactly.
Cool.
And the new map, it's this big, colorful stadium. It kind of feels like something out of a Mario Kart thing almost. and really enjoyed it. I did, so I didn't realize this was one of the cars, but Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is unlockable, and basically the way you get him is you get one, I don't know if you use every car once or get one win with every car, but whatever I was doing, that's how I unlocked Sweet
Tooth.
That's
pretty fantastic.
And yeah, it's awesome, and I read some articles that, you know, I believe it was Polygon, they were interviewing developers, and there's supposedly this whole lore to the world, and like they're
really?
Just not sharing it with the players or anything, but in the developing phases they came up with these ideas, and you know, what's in the audience, are there people in the cars, are there life-size cars or RCs and things like
they've
that.
They've got to be RCs, right, with the physics that they got.
Oh, for sure, but you never know. So yeah, played a lot of that, had a lot of fun with that. They're still technically in the, they call it preseason ranking, so everything's going to reset once they feel they have it where they want it, as
sure.
far as numbers and maybe patches.
Well, and I'm sure to some extent,
servers.
And I'm sure to some extent that there will be soft resets kind
right.
of forever, just so
right.
that like people have a chance to all get higher ranks and
yep.
stuff. It's not just like two people sitting in first place.
Yep. But for the most part, I mean, they've done a great job. It's easy to kind of communicate with your teammates when it's 2-on-2 and just kind of jive and take on people. I enjoy it. Highly recommend it. Have you tackled it yet on Steam? Or
Nope. Like I said before, it's not that I don't think it's a good game. It does look pretty
just
cool.
Just doesn't do it for you?
Well, it's just I don't like sports games and I don't like racing
right.
games. So a combination of the two doesn't seem – it just seems like I dislike it twice as much. And also, you know – I want to play it for free. So, like, I'm
right.
my new roommate. I'm moving in to a new apartment on the 1st, and my new roommate has a PS4. So
there you go.
Maybe I'll make him download it since it's free.
Sweet.
Yeah. Speaking of, I actually got to get – oh, actually, sorry. Did you have a
– Well, I was going to say I take interest in it. Just real quick, were you guys Twisted Metal fans, like, when
yeah.
it was big?
Yeah.
It was okay.
I'm surprised there was one that came out for PS3 maybe years ago. I mean, I'm surprised that's not a franchise they've continued, because I thought it was a unique or
I'm pretty sure that it, like, nobody bought it.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. They made a big deal out of it. I want to say they had full motion video in it too, but maybe I'm just thinking of something
else. Haven't
they
always had some degree of that?
I think it came and went. But yeah, basically it just there was this big hubbub like, oh, Twisted Metal's
coming back
and
yeah.
then just everyone was like, oh, all right.
I don't ever remember those games. Like, to me, those were always like the Sony's like edgy version of kart racers, and like
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
care for that. And I remember I think the last one I played was the kids one. What was the it was like RC it was Twisted Metal like and you're like on a playground and they're all RC cars and they have like
that.
Mario Kart power. It's ridiculous and terrible.
I remember
Small Brawl,
the
that's
original,
what it was. Twisted Metal Small
that.
Brawl.
Huh.
And it was not enjoyable at all. And I said, I think I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Well, at least you tried it. Yeah. What have you been playing, Henry?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I got to finally check out Zombie, the port of Zombie U that just came
yes,
out.
Yes, that's been anticipated for a while.
Yeah, I was anticipating it because I'm a huge fan of zombie games. I'm actually pretty forgiving about that stuff. Like, I really enjoyed State of Decay, which was not super well received just because it was pretty buggy, but I put up with it because I love a zombie game.
Yeah,
and,
great inventory management and resource management.
Sure.
And
Zombie does not have those kinds of redeeming factors.
Does it have any redeeming factors?
Well, it's a zombie game, which I like.
good start.
It'll run on a toaster, probably.
It's not on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
Although you couldn't tell from looking at it. So here's the thing. It plays and looks and feels like an 8 or 9 year old game. It's really very strange. Like, the field of view is all off. It looks like your arms taper as you go down the length of your arms. So, like, your hands look really tiny. The gun models are, like, awful. The melee is really, like, just it's inflexible. Like, you if you left click, so this is, I'm playing on PC. If you left click with a melee weapon in your hand, you just do, like, a shove. And you have to hold right click, then hit left click to do a single swing. And there's only one swing strength. type thing. Once you knock him down, you can hold down the trigger while you've got, or hold down the left click while you've got the right click held, and you'll do a finishing move. Like, it's just, it's very boring, very repetitive. The big thing that they introduced in it, and people were very excited about this when it was on Wii U, was when you die, you become a zombie, and like, you you take the role of a new survivor.
Sure, so permadeath, kind of.
Yes, and then you have to go kill your old character to get your items back.
Is it easy to find your old character? Because I heard it'll wander the streets, and I wasn't sure how far it goes.
It doesn't seem like it goes that far, because here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of the level design either. It's very, very, very closed in. Like, it's very linear, and it's not very well labeled. Like, I'm probably 2 hours in, and I'm kind of confused. I'm maybe 2 hours in, and to be honest, I've really been messing around. Just kind of that's how I play zombie games. So I'm supposed to be going to like a castle in London, or it might be like Scotland Yard or something. I can't remember, but I have no idea where to go. The way that they do map objectives, you pull up like you have a scanner camera thing, and everything is marked as like a point of interest. And when you look at it for long enough, kind of a la Far Cry, it like a full circle goes around your reticle, and then it is added to your mini map or whatever.
Oh, so you just walk that general direction
But it's not just that. It's that there's so much stuff on. Once you scan it, you don't have to be looking through the camera anymore for it to show on your like literally on your heads up display, not just on your mini map.
Was that a gamepad function?
So there's just dots everywhere. I think it was.
Okay,
I think
so that
it must
be how they changed it.
And it feels very, very awkward because you have to stop everything you're doing to pull out the camera. You can't attack while it's up. Like, it's just, it feels clunky. I mean, this feels like a really bad port is what it feels like. And I'm really sad about it. I'm still going to play through it because, like I said, I'm a sucker. I mean, I loved the Dead Island games, which were pretty much universally panned. But that said, I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy it. You know, and I certainly wouldn't recommend that anyone spends money on this. Definitely not. And just so you guys know, this is not unique to PC. I've got a couple friends who picked it up for PlayStation, and I hear it runs and, well, it runs fine, but it looks just as bad on there and plays just as bad. Although at least there you have triggers to make it feel somewhat more realistic when you're holding one down, and I don't know. Anyways, pretty much just disappointing. I don't recommend it. Hopefully we'll have better luck next time. But yeah, besides that, I also got to play a little bit more Hearthstone, of course, and some more World of Warcraft. So I have just this love-hate relationship with this expansion. I hate... They broke all of the gameplay. Like, professions are broken now. Like, I'm a jewel crafter on my shaman that I'm leveling right now, and there are no gems worth crafting. There's almost no items I've seen have sockets in them to put the gems into. Like, it's just, it's very strange, so I can't really do that. And the garrison, anyone can choose, like, from three professions and get, like, a sort of a, you can't make everything, but you can make a lot of the stuff from the professions without actually having leveled them at all, which is really frustrating for people. Like, it's driven down prices on the auction house, and, like, basically made it so that if you want to get something that's actually valuable, you have to spend ridiculous amounts of gold because all the resources and stuff have become super common, just insanely common. It's just daily quests. The entire game is geared around getting people to continue subscribing because everything is on a daily cooldown. It's ridiculous. On my main, my hunter, I've got a blacksmith, like a blacksmith in my garrison, and I'm trying to make one of the like really good weapons, just like an entry level epic weapon. And it takes 30 of an item that you can only make one of a day. Guess what?
So you got to wait a whole month.
You don't just have to wait a whole month. If you miss that window, because it's not, as I understand, it's not a resets at 2 a.m. type cooldown. Sure. It's a resets 24 hours from when you last used it thing. So if you miss a couple hours, you might have to resub just to make one item. You might have to spend more than you basically spent $15 on an item because you couldn't even use it unless you resub afterwards. So it's just, I hate it. It feels like they're doing anything they can to keep people subscribed. All that said, I do like the campaign in the game. I mean, I like the leveling from 90 to 100.
Okay.
I think the story, while I hate what they did to the lore, the characters are interesting and they make you feel special. It's cool to walk through like cities and have guards salute you and stuff like that and feel like you're making a big difference, being called commander and all that stuff. But we'll see if I bother to resubscribe after this one ends. I always like to pay $15 and then I immediately cancel my account so that it doesn't automatically re-go. So we'll see if I break down and spend another 15 in another 2 weeks here, or if I say, I think that was enough WoW until the next expansion. But yeah, that was a
well. So you take my phone when the next Hearthstone comes out, and I'll take your computer for when the next WoW expansion
well,
comes out.
Well, here's the thing: the difference is, I invested $15 and got a month of gameplay.
Yes.
So I don't really. I mean, I don't know. I think that was. I'm okay with the investment, even if I'm not a huge fan of the expansion itself.
I'm just surprised they messed something like that up. There's such a big user base. It's
Well, actually, it's at its lowest in a decade.
Really?
Yeah, it's
a lot of competition and people moving on to different
things. I don't
think
it's necessarily competition. Well, maybe. Final Fantasy XIV is certainly sucking a lot of players out of WoW. But I think that it's because it's boring. What they've done to this expansion is made it like a Facebook game where you log in once a day, do your daily missions, and it's not like daily quests where you're working towards a big goal like back in the day with like Encourage, the opening of Encourage, or like Conquest Isle even, or anything like that. It's more like I log in. Every day, all of the ore nodes in my mine respawn, so I mine all those up. Then I go to my then I go to my jewel crafting like emporium or whatever in my garrison. And I give them the rocks that I mined, and they're like, come back tomorrow, and I'll give you gems.
So like, how long does it take to do your dailies on average? I mean,
half an hour.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not doing daily quests per se. I'm just doing my daily garrison routine.
Sure, your activities
yes,
and stuff, chores.
Because they also have the nonsense where you get followers, and you send them out on missions that are literally Facebook games, except
sure.
You can't connect
kind of
from
like
your
the
phone.
Assassin's Creed stuff.
It's like exactly like yep. That, and it's a little more in depth, but still, I hate it. Blizzard, just release an app so that I can tell my followers to go back out from my phone and not have to go back and log into World of Warcraft, go to my garrison, go to the table,
right.
And then go through all the animations for who's completed. I mean, it's just unnecessarily time-consuming.
Does this surprise you, though, given that it's Blizzard and they seem to do things right? You know, you talked about how they patched up Diablo, and again, that's the game that I feel like I could go back to and play, like...
I don't know. I'm a little worried about World of Warcraft right now, especially because, like I said recently, Legion feels a little bit like giving the fans everything in the kitchen sink. Like, it's just very, very fan servicey, the double jumping, and now you can be Illidan, and everyone gets legendaries, and, like, all this different stuff. It all adds up to me being a little concerned about what, you know, they're going to be doing two expansions from Legion. Like, are they going to have any more ideas? Are they going to bring back Arthas or something? I don't even know anymore where the WoW lore is going. So I'll be interested to see if this new expansion creates, like, a hike in player base again. Because at the moment, it's, like, an hour and a half queue to do a dungeon. Whereas when the expansion first came out, it was, like, 30 seconds. Well, a minute or two. So
sure.
It's pretty rough right now.
Well, I've been playing a game that is starting to creep onto people's radar. It is a fighter called Rising Thunder. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it.
So
I don't know anything about it.
It is available online right now for free. Anyone who wants to download the beta, you have access to, I believe, 8 characters. And it is just risingthunder.com. It's made by Radiant Entertainment.
What is it?
So it is just, you know, your random fighter game or your average fighter game like Street Fighter, you know, Soul Calibur, something like that. So basically
which one is it like?
Well, I would say closer to Street Fighter.
Okay.
You have robots is its pull, and it's kind of cartoony. But the big point of the game is it's supposed to be entry level, whereas, you know, in a game like Mortal Kombat, you have to hit, well, maybe the old Mortal Kombats, I know this last one kind of streamlined at least the fatalities, but the point is that you're trying to hit, you know, just a couple buttons instead of a bunch to get the combos you're looking for, and it's supposed to be geared at a casual entry level audience, so I liked how I could just kind of hop in and tackle people online right off the bat and not have any problems with it, so as a novice fighter player.
That's cool. Tom, what do you think?
I was looking it up. I'm actually, a huge Mortal Kombat fan. I don't know what happened there. Just lost my voice. I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, but that's right. You kind of have to play it, you know, like pretty thoroughly, probably 20 hours before you really get into it and really understand
how
it
works. Yeah, that's true of most fighting games.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I mean, what makes that unique, obviously, is the blood and gore and the fatalities and all that stuff. But I was a big Soul Calibur fan, although I felt like that was kind of the same way. I mean, it maybe is a little bit less complicated and a little bit easier to get into, but it's still, you have to pretty much know combos off the
you know, tip your fingers. Maybe a little less so with some of the Soul Calibur games. Like, I would say 2 was pretty button mashing.
Yeah,
but that said, you're not wrong about, like, with Mortal Kombat. Actually, I was just playing Mortal Kombat 10 last night with my new roommate, and, like, that game, I will step away from it for a week, and then when I come back, I have no rhythm anymore. Like, I can't time any of the frame timings properly. I'm just standing up into uppercuts, basically, again and again. Like, it's rough.
It's very much, I feel like, rewarding if you do put the time in. And seeing two people who are really good, it's fun to watch. You see something that even if you've played the game a little bit with your friends or whatever, it feels like a completely different game. It's faster paced. People are responding to things better, better moves and stuff like that. And I've always felt like they did a good job with the characters and with the kind of environments they're in. I've never been compelled that much by the storyline, but... At the very least,
I actually am a huge fan of the Mortal Kombat storyline.
Really?
I mean, especially 9. I mean, like, the original storyline is solid, like Outworld versus Earthrealm.
I would agree with that. Some of it, I feel like, is a little bit of like an excuse to fight or whatever. You're like, why?
Well, it's
are these
all
two?
An excuse to fight.
I mean, and reasonably so. It's a fighting video game, but no. I mean, I like Mortal Kombat for that, but the hardest thing is it's hard to bring people in. What was great about like Super Smash Brothers, for example, is that
it's not a fighting game.
Well, that sure. I mean, it's a fighting genre, right?
It's a party game.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's easy.
If you do 1v1, no items on, like, Final Destination, then it's like a fighting game.
Yeah. My argument there is that I think you're right, but it's a small barrier to entry where, you get two people who are really good. They're playing on a different level. They're hard to beat. But in general, everyone's on a level playing field unless you're really one of those elite players, which I really enjoyed about it. And hopefully this game would kind of bring in that casual crowd and make it easy
to
play.
How accessible would you say it is? Like, what would you compare it to in terms of accessibility, Max?
Extremely, like, totally entry level. There's,
I mean, like Hearthstone level extent. Like,
yeah, for a fighting game, it could be the Hearthstone version of that. You know, right now, obviously, it's free to play. I'm not sure how they're going to monetize it. It is just a beta right now. You have your WASD for your movement and 6 buttons. One is first 3 are for weak, strong, and medium attacks, and then the other 3 are to activate some combos. So it's pretty straightforward.
What do you guys think about light, medium, heavy combo systems? Personally, I'm not actually I like light and heavy. And that, like, light and heavy punch and light and heavy kick. I don't like having to go to a trigger for one of my, like, punch or kick buttons.
I'm with you on that one.
I didn't like how it felt in Killer Instinct for the Xbox One. I did have that. They have this training mode, and they build it as something that was going to be easy to master and get good at and stuff.
They
and
did
it's,
have
it's
excellent tutorials.
Excellent tutorials,
game.
But it is still a very hard game,
yeah, definitely.
I feel. This game, I think they just did it right. It's very easy to play. And, you know, I couldn't win a match online if my life depended on it in Killer Instinct or Mortal Kombat. In this, I can. So
now that actually worries me a little bit, because are you playing against, like, fairly experienced players? I mean, are you basically
able to
button
mash
to victory?
You can button mash. You do have to time stuff. But when you're not worrying about, like, okay, so I landed a couple punches, how do I pull off that next combo? And you just know you have to press a certain button to get what you want done. It's much more of a game where, a little more strategy for the people that aren't able to master the complex combos.
Sure. I mean, my only concern would be, like, if you are someone who gets really good at it, will you win, or are
get
dethroned by first-time players because the game is too newbie friendly?
I did do some testing. I played a few rounds in a row where I was just button mashing my way through and didn't stand a chance. So the skilled people are going to win. It's just much easier to be one of those skilled people.
Is it rewarding to be that, though? I mean, like, the thing with Mortal Kombat is you do feel like you're playing on a different level. If you played it for a while, do you feel like, so there's enough, I guess, parity for some, or I guess there's a low entry point, but there's not so much parity that you feel like if you've been playing for, let's say, a couple weeks, you know, you're just as good as the guy who jumps in, you know.
Right, like, matches. You'll be able to tell if you're playing against a skilled person or a brand new person. The point is just like Hearthstone, your comparison is, you know, easy to enter, but difficult to master.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that one out, because that actually sounds pretty sweet,
and it's got robots.
Is Mortal Kombat 10 you've been happy with, despite the fact that it seems like money wise it's not a great investment? You buy a game and then you have to buy all these characters.
Well, I didn't pay for what I was playing for yesterday. It was because it was on my new roommate's PS4, but I do have it for PC, and I mean, I just haven't bought any of the DLC characters because I mean, it was kind of neat to play as. I got to play as Predator and Jason last night. Jason's like real dumb. Like he walks around like a total goofball, and he's got a really annoying ability. When you kill him, he comes back with like a fifth of his health bar with every time. And it's very, very, very annoying because I'm a big fan of, like, timing your x-rays to complete, like, perfectly finish someone's health bar off.
Sure,
but, I don't know, him and Predator were pretty cool. It just feels very gimmicky. It just feels really gimmicky is the only thing. Like, yeah, okay. To me, seeing Predator in Mortal Kombat is as upsetting as when I saw Link in Soul Calibur 2 or when I saw, you know, Yoda, who is, oh, God, Yoda. Stop putting, put short characters in video games that require you to aim. Like, it's so ridiculous. There's low, medium, and high attacks in those games, and they put in a character who's, like, shin high.
I meant to ask about Killer Instinct. The one thing I liked is I felt like the... It was more joystick based, right? As opposed to kind of button.
Yeah, you had to kind of round the joystick halfway to a point or like quarter clockwise and stuff that.
I suppose it makes it a little more difficult, although I felt like it was, I don't know how to put it. Like, I felt like it was moving in the right direction. Like, it wasn't perfected, but
it did
make you
feel pretty dang good when you pulled off a shadow move and stuff like that, or just the directional stuff. At least me, because it's just not my forte.
Sure, sweet. Well, I'm definitely going to take a peek at that, and I will tell you guys what I think next week. But, Tom, have you played anything else this week?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've been diving a lot into Fallout. I've been playing, going back to Dragon Age a little bit, and I know what you guys have said. Like, it felt like Game of the Year, I guess, when it came out, and then it almost felt like outdated immediately afterwards.
Yeah, when we realized, yeah, exactly, The Witcher, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the hard thing there is that...
Paradigm shift.
I want to play The Witcher. I'm worried, though, like, I invested probably, like, about 50 hours into, it's probably a little more now, but into Dragon Age. Like, I feel like I want to finish that game. I've heard the ending's pretty satisfying, and I don't want to ruin it by playing The Witcher at the same time.
Well, you can't. You don't have enough brain cells in your head to keep track of both of those games at once. There's just too much going on. Like, honestly, do that. Finish Inquisition first.
And I've been happy with it, and maybe it's one of those kind of ignorance is bliss, but... I feel like I do like how they kind of integrated the old characters, and I don't know how to put it. Like, the gameplay's fine. I liked how it was done. I know that you could add more strategy or whatever.
I feel like that, though, that's my problem with Inquisition, is I think that's the perfect word to describe it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I did not... Agreed. There's nothing about that game that makes me want to go, you know, lecture people on why they need to buy it, or, like, it's the game you can't miss from the last
generation.
Which
the first one was.
Yeah, the first one, and especially, was it Origins?
Origins,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
God,
what I was saying.
God, Origins was great.
Was not good.
Sorry, but... Origins and Awakening was what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
The expansion.
Yes, exactly, because, God, those were so excellent, because they were more of the traditional, you know, Baldur's Gate style,
right.
Whereas, like, the new ones are, well, they're Mass Effect.
Right.
Yeah, and so...
Not even.
I get what you're saying, like... The combat is fine. I think that's the perfect word for it. Although I do like the characters they introduced and your Iron Bulls or whatever. But
the writing is definitely the strongest part of that game.
And that's kind of, you know, I'm probably like on the, you know, scale between someone who wants a really challenging game and the content surfer. Probably closer to the content surfer.
Sure.
Especially when, you know, you have all these new games coming out in October, November, and... You know, I'm still trying to work through, you know, Fallout, which is a decently long game, you know, Inquisition, and then I'm going to probably try to squeeze The Witcher in there somehow.
Yeah, so, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time crunch, but I kind of am content surfing through Inquisition just because I enjoy the writing and I kind of want to meet all the characters
and get
through all that.
I get that.
And I think it's a game that you could almost justify doing content surfing. Like, there's enough action to keep you compelled into it, and then the content is there to help you finish the
definitely.
Game.
Definitely.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that it's worth noting, too, that, like, I wouldn't necessarily say The Witcher has a better story than Inquisition. I'd say that is a different story. I'd say it's like, you know, Inquisition is high fantasy, and... The Witcher is, like, low fantasy. And I don't mean that in a way that, like, The Witcher is written more poorly. It's that The Witcher is, like, I remember when I first read, like, a low fantasy book that I got from Barnes & Noble, I was shocked at, like, the descriptions of the violence. Like, just how, like, dark and dingy and brutal, and they use, you know, real swear words in it and stuff like that. That's what The Witcher is, whereas, you know, it's much more Lord of the Ringsy in Dragon Age.
Right, absolutely.
And I think... you know, I thought of this. If I hadn't played Origins or even 2, which I would tell people if you were just getting into the game, you almost have to play Origins to understand what the...
You should just skip 2 because it's awful.
And that's what I was saying. And the unfortunate... And I guess I think Inquisition balanced it pretty well where you can make Hawk part of your deal, or I think I killed him off right away because I was not a fan of that character. But you do need to know the lore of Origins. And if you're going to kind of reboot the series, I guess, in a couple years and try to get a new audience into Dragon Age, it just... You feel like you're kind of jumping into something that there's almost too much information to try to catch up on. That's the problem, is that I think it's a fun game, but if right now where both of them are out, I'd say play The Witcher 3. It's a much more accessible. The characters are still fun. It's still a good storyline. For the most part, I mean, I was really happy with 2. You know, the problem with these high fantasies is that you have to understand kind of how the religion works and who the names are and stuff like that.
Yes and no. I would actually say The Witcher is a lot more rare. There's a reason The Witcher, like, has the video compilation or whatever where you can see what happened previously.
Right,
because,
every time you log in.
I mean, seriously, you must not have played too much of The Witcher 3 because it's insane.
I have not played it.
You have to know what happened in 2 or else, like, probably... 1 in 5 encounters where you're talking to somebody, they make a reference to something you have no
idea
what you're talking about.
So I should be clear here. I played 2 without playing 1, and I felt like I was fine just jumping in.
I would say that's probably it's less of an issue with those two. But with 2 and 3, like, people are constantly saying, like, oh, Geralt, I remember when you did this or that in 2. And I'm like, I know that you can make multiple choices. I don't know what the canon story is from 2. And also,
that's
like,
interesting.
Should I take offense to that, or is he complimenting me, and did I actually do the thing he's saying I did, or is it just a rumor? Like, it's really hard to, like, figure out if you haven't played the games.
How do they do that? Because you can do the... I did the... who it was Yorvith and Roach, were those the two options?
Yeah.
And so they're significantly different.
When you are playing The Witcher 3, after you get through the first chunk of the game, basically the tutorial area, you'll go to this palace and some guy's kind of like prepping you on how to speak to the king that you're about to meet. And he'll ask you, like, what did you do in your background? Like, I heard you did this. And then you can be like, no, I actually did this.
That,
like,
you know what? That's how they should have done Dragon Age. Cause I'd say this.
They did have ways to do that.
Yeah, and so the problem with that is that my profile I made, I think, you know, I
right,
know
you
what
couldn't
happened.
Import it, yeah.
I couldn't import it because it was an old AOL account that got hacked and I shut down.
Yeah, but didn't they have a way to, like, they had, like, a...
You could make
could
a new one.
You could click through, like, a menu thing online that would let you just say these were the choices.
And for some reason it wasn't compatible with what I had on the Xbox or something.
Basically, his gamer tag was linked to a different account that he couldn't access. And it just got to the point of where it was so much work and trying to prove he was who he was that it just... He started playing.
I'm all ears on that.
Just import your save file.
What I think they should have done, though, is at the very least put the keep into the game so that you could just manually do that in the game.
It's a DRM thing.
What do you mean?
People who, like, pirated the game had no access to the keep
because
it was an online-only feature.
Gotcha.
So it was meant to help with preventing piracy.
So joke's on you, Tom.
That's a bummer.
I think he's right, and it's a shame. This is yet another case of... I guess I don't even necessarily... Yeah, I mean, it is, and it's another case of DRM kind of taking away from, like, giving players choice and giving players, like, who have legitimately
It's such a small thing, too, to not have access to.
Yeah, exactly. But that said, I'm sure it was enough to make a bunch of people shell out for the game. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, whatever. I'm okay with it,
I mean, like I said, I enjoy the game. I think... You're right. I wish they would incorporate more strategy, kind of like what Origins had. And I felt like Origins was just a very unique game where I felt like I'd played Dragon Age 2 within 30 minutes of playing it, right?
There wasn't a lot of variety.
This one, it's a similar feeling, although it's a better game. It's way better than 2, I really think. Compared to what it was going up against, I know it was weaker competition, but compared to what it was going against for Game of the Year, I think it belonged in the top 3 at the very least of that year, last year.
Sure.
But
did that come out last year? Yeah, it did.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. I wish I would have completed a little bit further. I forget what kind of sidetracked me or whatever. But I don't know. I enjoy – for a content surfing game, that's great. You know, like, you're right. The action is –
Well, and I think that – I think if you do – it's definitely a case of – it just kind of reminds me of, you know, if you're like – like, for me, I really wanted to try out Dark Souls. and I started with Dark Souls 2. I got like halfway through it, and I liked it a lot. And a lot of people were telling me Dark Souls 1 is like a little more accessible, arguably. Like, it's a little simpler, but it still has the same like difficulty spikes. And so I was like, oh, I'll go back and check that out. And the mechanical improvements and stuff they've made since then are just so huge that it's just night and day. I can't go back.
And
I think that's kind of would be the case if you played The Witcher versus Inquisition.
Yeah, and it's kind of the case I have right now with Fallout New Vegas, where there's just games that are so much better like constructed.
I guess, but I don't think anything else does what New Vegas does better.
In terms of the faction and in terms of...
Well,
like,
just in terms of what it is. Like, I can't think of another game that I would say that's similar to New Vegas.
That's very true, I guess I'm saying, in terms of strictly shooting mechanics and, like, movement.
Right. Well, that came out
record,
quite
those are
ago.
Identical to Fallout 3's, so yeah. Liking Fallout 3's but not liking New Vegas isn't super sensitive.
That's very true, although I think I played Fallout 3... Like
that was a while ago.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was fairly recently. I got.
I mean,
you, I got
recently
you.
Compared to when it came out, I played it way after.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was a late adapter.
Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with time right now. But
yeah, speaking of, let's move things along here. I'm very excited to hear though how the end of your playthrough goes.
Yeah, I'll definitely talk about that. I'm assuming
everybody, including Tom, just dies.
35 hours. I mean, how far do you think I am into New Vegas?
Walking in circles for all we know.
I mean, honestly, with New Vegas, based on what you said about your current point in the story, I'd say in terms of the main story, you probably have about 5 to 6 hours left.
Yeah.
And in terms of DLC, you probably have another 40 or 50 hours.
So honest question, do you think I'm fine finishing the story to get to level 25 and then doing DLC, or should I wait to finish this? Like, is the story that great that I should wait? Like,
It's not about the story being that great, but I would say get to the DLC before you get too overleveled for it. Not because it won't be fun or worth it, but then you want to talk about like surfing just for story. That's where you'd be at, because you'd just be breezing through everything. You don't want to be too overpowered, especially because like there's some really neat toys that you want to have an excuse to use. Like, you don't want to have a gun that's so powerful it just makes it irrelevant.
It's not, this is probably an obvious question, but it's not like the old game where it just shuts off, right? Once you beat it.
No.
I don't know why they
did
that.
I don't think that is the case in the old game if you actually have the DLC.
Yeah,
right,
then you
correct.
Get the DLC.
The DLC
and
brought the open-ended gameplay.
Yeah. Let us know when you finish up, though. I'm really excited to hear. And
we'll all be done with Fallout 4 at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll
also,
you know,
seriously, though, if you're only going to play one, play Old World Blues.
Is
if
that
you're
the
only gonna,
15?
Yes.
Level 15
if you're only going to play two, play Old World Blues and Lonesome Road.
Yeah. Oh, and Old World Blues will still be good even though I'm level 22, right?
It's, Old World Blues would be good if you were level 100. It is like one of the funniest, most enjoyable DLCs that I've ever felt like I really like spent my money well on. I thoroughly enjoyed Old World Blues.
So real quick question about going back to Rare Replay. There's no way they bring these back, right? I mean, maybe they have another Perfect Dark, but I don't think they're going to... Are they going to come out with another Banjo-Kazooie? They had Nuts and Bolts.
There's a spiritual successor.
Well, I was going to say, what is it called?
I don't.
It's like it's an instrument. It's like a banjo.
It's like banjo.
It's like harp or like...
I'll look it up as Tom continues with this.
But so, you know, I mean, I guess I felt like they had a good thing going there where you had... Like, were you guys fans of Diddy Kong Racing?
Nope.
No? I don't know. I liked it, and I thought they had...
Ukulele, thank you. I told you it was an instrument.
Interesting. So this is supposed to be Banjo-Kazooie's,
it's
like...
even got Grant Kirkhope as the composer. It's going to be amazing. And side note, was this your first time playing Banjo-Kazooie?
No, I played it on N64.
Okay, well, is the music still awesome?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I like everything about that game other than that the damn swimming sucks. Like, I can't adjust to get to the bubble.
How you really feel, Tom.
It's not that bad. Just remember that if you let go of the analog stick, your character evens out. So don't let go of the analog stick. Just have it like constantly pointing yourself down.
Did you beat Battletoads yet?
No, is Battletoads good?
It's frustrating.
It's a love-hate thing. It's a great game.
How are those? Like Slalom and stuff and the Racer? Are those games any good?
I actually haven't played the Rare Replay yet.
Oh,
so
that's
If it's not something that I'd played in the past, which I haven't played either of those, I wouldn't know.
I like Killer Instinct Gold, and that's on there. I was actually pretty happy. You know, people didn't like that, you know, Donkey Kong 64, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because Donkey Kong is a Nintendo
property. And it's the same thing. Like, as much as people love GoldenEye, and I totally get it, it was the first shooter I got into and stuff, and it was really well done, and James Bond, all that. Perfect Dark is a great game. Like, I don't really miss Cold Night.
I guess I didn't play Perfect Dark till, like, 5 years after.
Sure,
and same here. So, like, it did not. It was
missed
old when I played. Yeah,
same for me.
But it's way better on the... See, this is why they should bring it out for PC. It's way better on Rare Replay. It's way smoother. I don't know. It's definitely fun.
Sure.
Looks better.
Does it use dual analog control? Or it's coming from an N64, right?
Yeah, and I'm... Yeah, I mean...
Because I know the original didn't have, like...
It does have, but it's more, like, auto-aim and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, I don't know if I could go back to something like that, but, you know, you never know. I did really enjoy Brutal Doom with some mods. Maybe if they brought it to PC, people would mod that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. So, I don't know. I was really happy with the Rare Replay. I would like it if they brought back, like... Conker's Bad Fur Day, I thought, was very funny, as much as I'm really surprised that that's the direction they went with that game. Like, they made it an adult-themed game when you probably could have made it a kid's game.
Well, that's the whole appeal. I love it.
No, it's hilarious.
You literally fight a boss who is a giant mound of poop. Crap.
Yeah. No,
he sings opera to you.
I wish they'd have, like, Banjo-3E and Conker's Bad Fur Day 2 and...
Did you play Banjo-Tooie?
Yeah, although I think I beat Banjo-Kazooie. I don't think I got that far into Tooie.
Tooie was not amazing. And that's probably why we didn't see 3E. Although apparently Nuts and Bolts started out as Banjo-3E.
That doesn't surprise me.
Got diverted. I can't remember the exact story.
I haven't played it. Is it not good? I remember
it's not. Okay. I generally go on a passionate rant about this, but I've been talking to John about it lately, and he's kind of persuaded me that it could be fun for some people. Here's the thing. It's not a Banjo-Kazooie game. Like, it doesn't feel like a Banjo-Kazooie
game. That's
what
I heard.
Yeah. It's more of almost like a puzzle platformer, where a 3D puzzle platformer where you're building machines or vehicles, really, to navigate over certain obstacles.
Yeah, and I'm not... No.
But it's certainly... If you're looking for Mumbo's Mountain, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I really like the original Banjo-Kazooie, and even Jet Force Gemini, I feel like, was kind of a lost game. Like,
I
really
that game.
Yeah, I thought it was really solid. I think I got lost or something in the 64 game, never beat it, but I'll definitely check that one out. I don't know. I just wish, what was it about, I guess you don't like racing games. You never played?
No, Diddy Kong Racing is like the Mario 2 of racers. They literally ripped the assets from an already finished game and put Diddy Kong characters.
I know, but it was great.
It's not.
Tom's easy to please.
I mean, it's not a good. The only thing that was cool about it was that you could, like, fly. Like that.
But
you
it was
could,
cool.
You
could fly, or you
types
could
types of vehicles.
Yeah,
that was really the only appeal to me. And I just didn't. I don't know.
Going back, if I look back at it, I probably wouldn't like
it. I really hated the setting. There was something extremely off-putting to me about the setting, and I hated that elephant.
Yeah, Taj was a weak point. Taj was a weak point.
It was weird.
I don't know. I like the Rareware games. Like, I really liked...
Plus, an Indian elephant on a magic carpet named Taj.
Do you find that offensive?
A little bit, yeah.
No, I don't know. I thought they had a good... Like, I liked the Star Fox Adventures. You ever play that one for the GameCube? Like,
I'm not allowed
Star
to talk
Adventures.
About it because I also really liked it.
Oh, and... my God. Okay, you guys...
You didn't like that?
We need to change the subject before internet comes at you guys with pitchforks. God, next you're going to tell me you're huge fans of Sonic games.
No, I won't go that far.
What was that? And the Clona thing wasn't very good, right? I played a little bit of it and wasn't that...
The what?
Not Clona. It's,
all right, Tom's done.
No. Rare Replay. What was the game that was supposed to be on GameCube that ended up on 360? I don't know. Cameo. The Elements of Power.
Oh, Cameo, yeah.
Wasn't that pretty well received when it came out?
Yeah, it was. It's interesting.
It was on
unique.
My list. I never made it.
Is it worth playing? I mean, I played like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you already have it. I would play it. Yeah. It's cool.
The only problem with this, and this is not a PC problem, sorry, I'll let you talk, I'm killing you. I do not like the Xbox does not have that much memory, because now I'm at like 85%.
Oh, yeah, no,
but with the Xbox, you can literally go out and buy an external hard drive.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
going to have to do.
I got a 4 terabyte for $100 on Steam.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to have to do.
Just, it's easy.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I just want to talk about the mobile games I've been playing this week. I know, exciting. Usually I'm so anti-mobile, but there's a couple good deals. I want to just remind everybody that Goat Simulator is the IGN Game of the Month this month. It's free. Goat Simulator is in its best form, in my opinion, on handheld devices, mostly because it's a dumb enough game that you can't really play it for more than like 5 or 10 minutes without being like, okay, that was fun, but this is really stupid. But it's a great time sink, and seriously, it's free. You have no excuse not to just download it. Even if you don't play it now, you can download it, delete it, and then re-download it a year from now if you're interested. But get it while it's still free. It's only for 4 more days, I think. Then also, I've been playing Quell Memento Plus, which is a lot of fun. That is currently the editor's choice on the App Store for iOS, and it is a lot of fun. It's a puzzle game with really cool story elements. It's got voiceover, like you guys have seen the movie Memento, I'm assuming. So like,
yes.
It's kind of like that, where it's like he doesn't remember his past, and you're going through these puzzles, and the puzzles have like old timey pictures that are parts of his life that he's slowly remembering. And I'm assuming it's going to get real dark or something. But it's just kind of a fun, typical puzzle game, and I would definitely recommend it just while it's free. Again, while it's free. I don't know how much it costs when it's not. So grab it while you can. And then lastly, if you guys haven't checked out Crossy Road, the creators of that wonderful Frogger-type game have released Pac-Man 256.
I'm interested in this.
This is it's kind of a weird one. So it's an infinite Pac-Man game, which is kind of hard to explain. So you're playing on a Pac-Man board, and it's slowly scrolling up, kind of, and there's a ton of ghosts, and the power pellets aren't in the normal places and stuff, but basically, yeah, it's an endless Pac-Man. It's fun. I think Crossy Road is better, but especially because now they added in like a Pac-Man mode that's free right now. You should check that out too. But it's pretty cool. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of Pac-Man. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Did you ever get into
it? No.
I liked Pac-Man, like the old game. And again, it's a great handheld. Like I played it on Game Boy.
Sure.
But I was surprised they never were able to kind of create a Pac-Man for the next generation. Hopefully 256 is what that is. Because
yeah, maybe. Pac-Man for the internet attention span.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever played, like, the GameCube or PS2, like, Pac-Man games.
Yeah, the weird ones that are, like, 3D and stuff. Or, like, yeah, the same thing happened with Frogger, actually. They failed to transition that to the new generation.
Yeah, I remember playing that on GameCube, and I was like, what the hell is this?
I played it on PS1, and it was just baffling.
Yeah, it was, yeah, so, I mean, it's unfortunate they never kind of figured out how to do that one. Even Pong, I remember, do you remember, like, there was, like, a new Pong, and it was better than the other two. But like you could play like 4 players and stuff like that, and there were different,
That's
tilt
kind
and all
of
that.
Neat, but to me that just sounds like a party mode game. Like that
it
just
exactly
sounds like a
that.
Mini game in Mario Party or something.
Yeah,
actually, it sounds like a mini game in the Crash Mario Party
sure.
thing, whatever that was. I can't remember. What was it? Did you guys play that at
Crash
all?
Crash Bandicoot at a Mario Party?
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
like a party.
I played it. I actually found it to be quite enjoyable when I played it. I will look it up.
Yeah.
Can I throw a title real quick? This is not mobile, but
yeah.
Brothers, which is short. I really enjoyed that.
Good.
You guys talked about it.
Oh, yeah. Finally. Yep.
I had it downloaded. I'm not going to say
anything.
We aren't
going to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm not
you finished it.
No, I'm at. I don't know if I'm spoiling anything. I'm at the part of the wolves. That's all. All
right.
But yeah, I feel like I'm probably 2 hours into a 3 hour game or something like that.
It is a pretty short game.
Yeah.
I would recommend next time you sit down, just finish it. Cause you don't, you need to have, it needs to feel fresh while you're still playing through it.
Yeah. And I might even just go finish it.
Side note, it was called Crash Bash and it was a fantastic
yes,
game.
Yes,
I will
Crash
stand
Bash,
by it.
Thank you. Yeah. It wasn't bad at all. I really liked their kind of bumper cars, hungry hippos. Type,
they had racing too,
mini-game.
Didn't they too? Nitro Kart or something.
Yeah.
Like
I actually enjoyed that
Crash
too.
Team Racing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised CTR. That never transferred well to GameCube. Like, I thought GameCube was trying to take over Spyro and Crash and stuff like that.
Spyro and Crash are, like, more... I mean, I know that Spyro eventually came to Nintendo products, but Crash
right.
Bandicoot was, like...
There was one.
But Crash Bandicoot is, like, the... Wasn't he, like, the poster boy for PS1?
For PlayStation,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
and they brought it over...
He was their mascot.
Yeah, and they brought over it over to GameCube. I forget.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up, but I never had a PlayStation. I played... Crash Bandicoot.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Brothers, I probably should finish up right now. It gets difficult towards the end.
The Wrath of Cortex.
Yes, that's right. It was not that great. It
Gosh,
was better
I,
than the
I
Spyro.
I really like Crash Bash. I'm just having all these fond memories coming back to me. That was a fun game.
You must have forgotten how frustrating it was, too, though. I remember I played through the whole single player of it, which was very difficult because the AI cheats.
It was terrible. Oh, yeah.
But it's great at parties.
Like, remember the one where you're on a block of ice floating in the sea
yep.
and you're riding panda bears trying to knock everyone off? Well, yep. Or, sorry, polar bears. I suppose panda bears want to make
baby
more sense,
polar bears.
Gosh, what a fun game.
So what do you feel like you could have made Brothers like a 10-hour game? Or is it just
nope.
because it's 3?
I think that it is exactly the length it should be. I think that some games, especially games that are trying to tell a story, is really best not to outstay your welcome. Otherwise, you end up in a situation like Lost. Like, a lot of people don't know that Lost, which everyone universally more or less hates just because of how it ended and how it went on and on and on. Well, it had a whole story written out with, like, a timeline for how everything was going to it had beats that it was supposed to hit at certain key times. But then in the middle of it got so popular that in the middle of them writing for it, the studio network said, we're just going to make this until people stop watching it. So they just had to start dragging out the story more and more and more. And then they're told, okay, now we're going to finish things up. And so they have to suck everything back in and try and get to that original ending point that they wanted.
I get what you're saying there. I just feel like, with the exception of the, you know, your Dragon Ages, your Witchers, these big games, Fallout, 15 hours seems ideal. And I don't know why that is, but I feel like that's what BioShock was.
I think that maybe that seems ideal based on the amount of free time you have. But yeah. I think it's really a matter of personal preference. The busier I get, the more I appreciate like a really well-made smaller game.
I agree completely. And I had sat down just on a Saturday when I had just a little bit of time to kill, did it in one playthrough, and
yeah,
completely
I think Journey,
appreciated the story.
Journey
yeah.
would be another example of something
is
like
Never
that.
Is Never Alone? You ever play that one?
Yeah.
Like the Indian game or whatever? I don't know.
Inuit.
Sorry. Close.
Wow, not even remotely close. Jeez. Yeah, I played it. I actually... I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I think it's very sweet. I think it's an awful game. I mean, I think it's a really cool idea to teach people about, like, Inuit culture.
Yeah.
And, like, I really like some of the mythology that's in it and stuff. But, like, it cuts to, like, QuickTime videos and, like, like slideshows in the middle of the game. It's a terrible game, but it's a cool piece of art.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. But maybe that's because I haven't played it much. You know what I mean? Maybe it's good for a couple hours.
I think it wears out its welcome. Because to me, it's what it is a very, very middle-of-the-road platformer. It doesn't really impress in terms of graphics. It doesn't really impress in terms of, like, the level design or the gameplay.
But it pulls on your heartstrings.
Exactly. It's neat.
How long is Ori and the Blind Forest? 10?
That's impossible to say because that's a game that, like, I mean... that's really hard to say because that's a game, especially if you're not very good at puzzle platformers.
It could take forever.
Yeah, it's a Metroidvania style game, but it's also got intense speedrun Meat Boy-esque. Like,
yeah, there's some areas that you need to nail it with your basically platforming skills.
But it's
not,
like, not even platforming. It's like mid-air changing directions repeatedly.
It's very real, time
It's kind of reminiscent of like Pikachu's agility, his up move in Smash Bros.
That's okay.
I'd say 10 hours if you're good at the game.
Because,
and if you're an average person, I'd say 15 probably. Because you will spend over an hour on a single puzzle if you get. Like,
and
you'll
want to go around and collect everything to get upgrades that help you get through things easier.
Exactly.
Because I plan on playing it. I'm going to kind of wait until I get through a couple other games. But it seems like that has generally positive reviews. It's a good storyline.
Well,
it's very well timed out. You don't feel like sick of it after a while.
Yeah. To be honest, if you're really trying to gauge how long it is, you should just throw that out the window, because if you think about it like a Metroid game, like people who love Metroid, they break the record so that you can get like the true ending. They beat the game in like 2 hours.
Right.
The first time somebody plays the game, it could take them 14 hours. You know, if they don't know exactly what they're doing, they're not speed running. They're not taking shortcuts. Like, you know,
in general, I feel like 10 to 15 is ideal unless it's an epic game like a Dragon Age, like a Witcher, like a Fallout or whatever. You know, there's not, I guess I only.
Sure. I think everyone has their own standards. I used to be all for always having really, really, really long games.
That's huge content.
As I get older, I'm less and less into that. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I'm putting off playing The Witcher is because I find it very daunting how much content there is in that game. Like, I know that if I started, another game's going to come out well before that I want to play before.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem with the glitches in that game is that you can get really screwed, right? Where you don't get enough experience. And
that's
then
not really a thing anymore.
I think it's been addressed from the get-go.
That's actually been behind us for a couple months now. But it's more that it's like it's just so much stuff. And I have a very real thing where if I don't play a game for a little while, it's gone. I can't remember anything about it. Like, it's just, it's
really?
Like, with for me, if I read a book and I get like 10 chapters in, then I pick up another book and I read that, I'm starting the first book over. I'm not going to pick it up.
See, it depends for me. Like, I remember Dragon Age pretty vividly. I got back into it and I didn't feel lost. But there are certain games like that where I feel like I'm like, what happened in this?
I bet you if you had played The Witcher in between, you would have started Dragon Age over. It depends on how similar the stories are and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm going to wait for The Witcher, I guess, until Dragon Age is done. And then by then, there's going to be 100,000. I mean, I'm really excited for what's coming up next with even Destiny. I feel like I'm going to get back into it and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So, I haven't mind the lull. We keep on, I think we started 3 or 4 shows saying, well, there's not much news. And I've kind of liked it because I get to catch up on all these backlogs.
Well, is that pretty much everything you guys have played this week? Because
the only thing I will say is I will give you one more props on calling Styx. I played that, the PlayStation 4 free game.
Can you remind everyone which one Styx is?
Styx is the one where you run around as a little goblin stabbing people in the shadows.
Third-person stealth action.
Yes. So I believe when we talked about it when John was on the show, he had commended the voice acting, and I will say, yeah, it's very great voice acting. The problem is the narration comes from Styx, the entirety of the game, and there will be entire like minute or a couple minute long segments where because he's talking to himself, so it's just a screen staring at his face waiting for the next thing to happen while he's finishing his line of dialogue, and you're just staring at a face, no action is happening, the lips aren't moving, and it's just, when I hit that point, I was thinking, why couldn't you just make up some magical voice to, like, guide him through the game or whatever, like...
Well, and to be frank, it's a below-average stealth action.
Oh, it is,
Like, it's not even middle of the road. Like, it feels like an indie project that, like, got way out of hand.
Right.
It just feels like some first-time developer just took a shot at this and then maybe ran out of money or something.
Right, and I wanted to like it. The story was weird. It's just, you know, I don't think I'll be finishing it.
Sure.
Real, real quick question. I feel like BioShock nailed the storyline kind of while you're playing. Like, I don't know why more games don't have that audio log system where it's just...
I mean, a lot of games do. I'd say that most AAA games have some sort of audio log system.
I agree.
I mean, it's going back to Doom 3, they've had audio logs as...
No.
A source of additional lore and as a source of, like, getting Easter eggs or, like, hidden items.
Continue. I'm not saying the innovation of it. I'm saying, like, Destiny should have done that. I feel like Dragon Age could have done it more.
Didn't Destiny kind of do that with your ghost? Doesn't he, like,
kind of, but
he inform you?
They wanted you to read those grimoires or whatever.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, most of the what I've seen of Destiny has been, like, Peter Dinklage saying, I don't know what's going to happen when I do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe
it's
not.
It's bad.
Yeah, I was reading a retrospective on Kotaku today about, like, oh, you know, this is the last we're going to hear of Peter Dinklage, and, like, so many people are saying, oh, I've really grown it. I didn't like it at first, but I'm growing attached to it. And I'm like, yeah, sounds like confirmation bias. Yep.
Yeah, well, he doesn't...
Sounds like why you like Destiny, too. Yeah.
You can run through the whole game and you get 10 lines out of them. So it'll be cool with what they're doing now to have some actual dialogue and interaction with the world around you.
Well, I'll be interested to see, too, if they give Nolan North a little creative control. Because
hopefully.
It wasn't just the delivery that was bad.
Oh, no.
It was the writing is awful. I mean,
or the
really
lack,
bad.
The lack thereof.
Yeah. So. And so, yeah, I'm actually quite excited to see what some of the changes are, just because they are making it a lot more World of Warcraft-like, and I know some people roll their eyes every time I say that, but remember that I'm subscribed right now to World of Warcraft out of morbid curiosity, so when they do, please bring Destiny to PC, I will definitely be checking it out as it becomes more and more similar to what I prefer in an MMO.
Well, with all the upcoming releases, why don't we close out by just saying what our next game is going to be?
Yeah, let's see. I'll start things off here really quick and say I'm skipping over both of the upcoming releases in the next 2 weeks.
Bam, take that.
Yep. I think that I am still the next definite buy for me is still Fallout 4, actually.
Okay.
I'm not super excited. I'm just trying to think. Unless Just Cause 3 is coming out before that, I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't think it is.
Whichever one of those comes first, that's what I'm getting next, I'm pretty sure. I'm not super excited about too much else. I'm trying to think here.
No Battlefront?
I'm definitely going to wait to see what the reviews say about Battlefront.
I
and
agree.
To be honest, I'm not a... What I've seen of the game has made me very nervous. So I'm not ready to jump into that one. What about you, Max?
Well, I watched 90 minutes of Mad Max. It looks fun, but I think I'm going to wait for the reviews, so I'm for sure going to go with Metal Gear Solid.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard really mixed stuff about Mad Max. Like, when the first reviews we heard out of, like, a lot of the conferences was like, oh, it's way better than anyone was expecting.
Right.
And now, like, a couple weeks, or, you know, a week ago or so, we started hearing a lot more of the, like, more general reviews, and people are saying, oh, it's actually, like, not terrible. It's just like real boring.
It looks like a playable game, but it, you know, from what I saw, it had some cool ideas. I like that it carried the combat over from Arkham Knight and Shadow of Mordor.
See, I don't like that.
It had enough twists on it, but you're right. For the people that didn't like it, it's not going to be a game that you're going to want to play through.
I don't get me wrong. I love the combat.
Oh, no, I get it. But a lack of, you know.
Innovation, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, exactly.
Its own feel.
We'll see, though. I mean, I'm sure right. It's going to be a lot of third-person, open world, you know, driving around in cars. And that could be pretty cool. That's where there's some potential. I want to see right. If, like, I would love to see missions that are a la Fury Road, where it's like, protect this convoy while, like, through three different encounters in different canyons. Or, like, you know. There's I can't remember their names, but the guys who spray paint their mouths chrome and then like jump with those boomsticks to commit suicide. Like if those dudes are coming after you, like pulling up next to you and jumping at your vehicle, and you have to like swerve and they just go off like left and right, that could be really cool. But most of what I don't know, I'll never trust a movie licensed game. I'm just trying to think back, Spider-Man 2. Probably the only good movie licensed game to date still.
That was fun, though.
Yeah. Right.
No, yeah, well, yeah, it was exactly. Fantastic. That's my point, though, is how many years ago was that? Like 12? I mean, that was GameCube.
You know, almost pulled me in that PS4 release this last, Until Dawn, this last week.
I actually have not heard of that.
Oh, well, just very quick rundown. For anyone that likes the horror genre, it is a choose-your-own-story type adventure where there are eight stereotypical teens from horror movies, and it kind of visits all the locales. It starts at a cabin in the woods, and there's, you know, some tie-ins. But the game auto-saves constantly, so every single choice you make, you need to get through to the end of that playthrough.
Iron Man mode.
Yep. And every single character can die or survive and end up in different scenarios. And so it's like about 6 to 8 hours to beat it, but it's supposed to be multiple playthroughs. And it's gotten some pretty positive reviews. There's some problems with it, a little bit of quick time events, but sounds like solid writing and some interesting choices. So horror fans, check it out.
Can you name it one more time? Until Dawn. Got it. All right. And Tom, what are you going to be picking up next?
Yeah, upcoming games. Definitely. I thought I was done with Destiny. I was really upset with the $60 purchase. I did not listen to Henry Bell and saying don't. I mean, we did this. I think we both did this, Max, where we downloaded the game into our system. And then once it releases at midnight or whatever, you can go play it.
Yeah.
I was really I was excited about the beta, and I feel like the beta was really what sold me on it, and I thought it was.
And then everything in the beta was all that was.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I feel like fundamentally it was a good game. I just didn't. There was no storyline, or I didn't understand it, and there, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of fell short. I think the Taken King has done enough to show me that. I'll wait one day. I will show you the receipt. We will verify this on the show.
Yeah, we will post this online for you guys to check out. Proof that Tom did not buy it day one.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait and see the reviews and see what people say, and hopefully it kind of lives up to the hype. But I'd like to get back into it because I like the idea of Destiny. I like the competition of it. I do not like Light. I do not like a lot of the other stuff, and it seems like they've gutted that out. Other than that, yeah, it's kind of up in the air. I really am interested. Actually, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, I actually really enjoyed those games as much as I've never skateboarded and never been into that culture. I thought
you look like a skater, Tom.
I do. I'm a skater boy, man. But no,
those
I mean
Vans.
Pro Skater 4 or 3, I can't remember which one, but you know they really did that well. And
Project 8 was my favorite.
I should have played that one.
Which is basically Pro Skater. Like Project 8 was very similar. That was the one where they first introduced the whole manual joystick control for like doing like manuals and kickflip. You know, you go in slow-mo and you can individually control your feet. And that was right before Skate came out, but that was a great one.
I should have played that one. I got really discouraged.
You have a 360 still, right?
Yeah. I mean, I probably could
probably grab it. Like, it's probably like $2 in a bargain.
But before your 360 dies.
Man, it's on its way out.
Hit up GameStop on the way home.
No.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll live. And plus, I think Xbox One's backwards compatible, which is cool. But or with some games, not with all games.
Yeah,
we'll see. Fingers crossed.
But no, I enjoyed that. Like, I think it was 3 that came out right with the GameCube, and 4, I think they did really well. And so I'm excited about Pro Skater 5. I'll check that one out. I really hope they do Star Wars well, because that game I'm really excited about. And the problem is, I think, and we talked about this off air, is that because you got all these Star Wars nuts and all kind of want this kind of game, there's going to be a lot of pre-orders and it may be a complete bust, right? At the same time, you hope that they really do it well where they, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely, let's put it this way. Yeah, because that wasn't super clear. Just to clarify, what he means is, we're expecting another Battlefield 4 launch. Like, there's just, it's such a popular game, and it's being made by DICE, and I just, I have a very strong feeling it will launch in not a super playable state. That's another one that seriously, guys, if please, you guys, learn from your mistakes. Developers are never going to release finished games if you pre-order everything just on an idea. You've got to wait for it to come out, see what people say. It's still going to be in stock, okay? It's an EA game. It will be in stock no matter where you go. Like, it's not going to be an issue.
So
there's this thing called digital only, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping Syndicate, this is another game I'm going to wait until you see the reviews, but I hope Syndicate brings Assassin's Creed back to what it used to be, where you could kind of get it sight unseen, know you have a good game. I feel like there's something to prove, and I've like kind of the.
I learned my lesson after Unity, pre-ordered that bad boy.
Yeah,
so.
I'm pretty wary too. You know, one thing I did want to mention to people, because I know I came down pretty hard on Unity, is if you do want to play a good new Assassin's Creed game, this completely flew under the radar, but Rogue is actually not bad at all.
And I do want to. I should. I'm waiting for the price to drop, and hopefully my Xbox will still survive.
We've got to get you a PC. It's on sale all the time.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Steam summer sale. Not backlog, Tom.
That reminds me, just so everyone knows, and I know this is coming a little bit late, but you have till next Tuesday, the current Humble Bundle weekly sale is the Heroes of Might and Magic bundle. It's got pretty much every Heroes game in it, as well as Dark Messiah of Might and Magic, which is an excellent first-person like melee combat game. Highly recommend
that. Came
it.
Out kind of around the time of Oblivion, right? It was kind of its competition.
Yep. And I think it had much better melee combat. Like, cool. You can kick people off cliffs. It uses physics systems and stuff.
That's all
you throw spells.
For.
Plus, it's got a branching story, so there's that too. Highly recommended, and you can get the entire bundle for $10. All has Steam keys.
So yeah, I don't know. And then November 10th is gonna be tough. Fallout 4. I think if I get to choose, you know, two games, I'd look at Destiny, see what that has to offer, and then the one I'm really intrigued by is Fallout 4. Like, I'm really hoping they do that right, and it comes out with stellar reviews.
Mm-hmm.
The hard thing is it's also running against Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I understand you're not a huge fan of. But
I don't like the new Tomb Raider games. I think they're extremely bland.
I like that new one. I thought they did the reboot. I don't know what you thought of that one. But
I enjoyed it, but I have also never played the older Tomb Raider
games.
Yeah,
and
much,
I probably played
so.
One of them
I liked.
Something.
I felt like they were more puzzly in the older games. Nowadays, it feels like they threw in a couple Half-Life 2 physics puzzles and then called it quits.
Right, so hopefully there's actually tombs to explore and some
and that is the big
thing
they're pushing
like
is that she will be raiding tombs in this one. So
that's kind of part of the title.
Definitely. So that'll be, well, it was in the last one, too.
That's what I mean, though. They should have, right. Did you like the, what was the multiplayer game where you're like top down and it kind of looks like Diablo?
Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light and then the Temple of Osiris is the sequel, which I mean, my roommate has he apparently got it for free for something off PS Plus.
I
will be reporting back on how the co-op is on that probably
because I actually like that game.
I enjoyed the single player by myself because I have no friends, so
I was playing it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't play the second one.
He said no friends, Tom.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but you know, I'll definitely give it a shot because my roommate wants me to try it with him, but I'm not a fan of things like Four Swords Adventures. I don't like it when you take a single player game and force in co-op multiplayer, especially because I hate cooperating in multiplayer. For the most part, I want to fight my friends, not
compete,
work together, and then also be
who
competing at the same time. Like, that stuff starts to get frustrating for me, especially because there's always that drunk friend who just keeps throwing you off the cliff or like just refuses to help you progress. But
no Halo 5, I assume. I'm not that in, like Halo 4 kind of I was not thrilled with, and so I haven't played it
I'll
since.
Play it.
I'll
it's
wait
just,
till it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So. It's interesting that wouldn't be. Yeah.
But that pretty much wraps things up. We'll let you guys know what we think of some of these new titles next week, and hopefully there will be some news as well. But thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of Cold Omaha's Video Game Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on Audioboom and iTunes. We'll be back again next week, but until then, game on.